Good evening, Skylar.
Good morning, Kim. How's it going?
It's going pretty well. I declare that the autumn of 2022 has officially begun in Budapest, because today was the first day when I had to wear two layers when going outside. Not just the hoodie, but also jean jacket on top of it. And it's been raining. So it's autumn, and it smells like autumn already, and I'm both very glad about that, because it's a lovely, lovely season, and season change is always interesting and, like, nice stuff. But on the other hand, it's getting cold and dark. Inevitable, but, you know, doesn't stop me from being sad about it. What about yourself?
Right. Now, around here, it has started getting like, the temperature. The temperatures have shifted down a little bit. Enough that if you're out early enough in the morning, mm-hmm. you're going to get a little chilly, but you can't dress for that, because if you wait long enough, it's going to get warm, mm-hmm. like, in the middle of the day. So, yeah. Like, it's a little weird, but no, I'm glad it's getting, I prefer the cold, personally, but I'm glad it's getting just not unbearably hot as it usually is here. But no, it's been a good week. It's been busy, honestly. I've had, like, so many different, in the last 2 weeks, like, three of my classes have had their first exams of the semester.
That's
fun. Not really, because what it is basically, we've gotten through the first two or three chapters, mm-hmm. and we're, like, taking an exam on it, and then you keep doing that. So you have, like, four or five, some people call them modules, which is just chapter sets or whatever, and then once you're at the end of a module, you take the exam. So I have an exam I have to do later today, which I'm not looking forward to, because it's online, and I didn't do it yesterday, so, but that's fun. So studying for those has been boring, but yeah, no, it's been good. There is also another very exciting thing that happened.
Yes, that is not uni related.
Yeah, no, last week, last Friday, and we didn't talk about it on last week's episode, but because we were specifically saving it for this week, but last Friday, I placed a pre-order on an iPhone. I might have mentioned it in passing last week, I don't even remember, but because I didn't listen back to last week's episode, that's why I can't remember. I placed a pre-order on an iPhone 14 Pro Max in purple, and yesterday, I went and got it. And it was literally right after an exam I had yesterday morning. Like, I walked out of the class and walked straight to my car and drove to the Apple Store. And weirdly, like, the Apple Store wasn't incredibly busy as I expected it to be. And, like, I mentioned it, and the Apple Store retail person was like, yeah, we're usually actually pretty slow on... Apparently, they're pretty slow at the very beginning of new iPhone day. Mm. And they start getting pretty busy, like, halfway through the day. And then from there on, for the next week or two, they're super busy. But because I was there fairly early on new iPhone day, it wasn't that busy. But, so this phone, right?
Mm-hmm. Tell me about it. Make me jealous.
Yeah, so first of all, it's purple, but in certain light it just looks gray, which honestly I'm okay with, because purple isn't usually my color.
It really matter? You're going to put a case on it?
No.
No case, or no, doesn't matter?
No, I'm not putting a case on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no.
I'm living dangerously.
I haven't put a case on my phone in, like, at least a year, because I never bought a case for my 13. But, so, the purple's a good color.
Yeah, so dragons. This whole thing, so reckless.
I have Apple Care. It's fine.
I'm kidding.
I know. But, no, I got the Max, right? I got the professional maximum,
Ultra and, Pro Extreme, mm-hmm. Yes, inevitable joke.
Yeah,
sorry.
The information telephone 14 professional maximum, but it's big. It's big. That's,
you don't say.
Yeah. So compared to the 13 Pro. So, like,
Wait.
Two years ago, I had the 12.
Okay. Yep. So you're going from the default size to the larger one, right?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I wanted to try.
Okay,
right?
Fair enough.
So 2 years ago, I had the base model 12, right? Or not the 12 mini, but just the 12, right? That was 2 years ago. And then last year, I had the 13 Pro, but the normal size. And then this year, I got the 14 Pro Max. And I was like, I have the options, right? It's all in the iPhone upgrade program. If I go with the Pro Max, it's a little bit more that I'm paying per month, but it's not like it's fine. iPhone upgrade program, like, it all works out. So the reason why I went with the Max is because I was talking with some people and I was just like, you know, I want to try, right? It's the kind of thing you need, like, I have the option and, like, I wanted to at least say I tried it. Because, like, you can't know if you don't give yourself a chance to get used to it. And this isn't even, like, the best thing about this new phone. But the size is, honestly, I've gotten used to it pretty quickly. And, yeah, it's big, but it works for me, at least. Because I have big enough hands that I can deal with it.
I was just going to mention that you're, like, you know, aren't you a relatively tall individual and, you know, with proportionately sized hands, so... For you, that would be fine, because I remember I did have a plus sized phone. I don't remember which one it was. It might be 6 plus. Really don't remember, but I remember what I clearly remember is struggling with it big time, and it was not good. And these ones are, I think, larger and heavier. So in the boring world of me, of my tech situation, I'm sticking to my iPhone 13 mini, and I'll be, you know, it isn't the case, because I want to get as many years out of it as possible. But for you, doesn't surprise me to hear that you adjusted to it fairly quickly. And what else, apart from the size and color, would you like to talk about?
Yeah, so screen real estate's really good. But there's all these new things about specifically the Pro and Pro Max, right? And everyone has said this once they get the phone, like, the way the always on screen works is different from what people expected. And it's not a bad thing, but it's just when you think about, like, and we've seen this before with just like the, you know, the way the Apple Watch does, always on screen stuff, and it gets a little bit more dim and it lowers the frame rate of the screen, but you can't tell that, but all you can see is that it gets more dim and some of the details go away, right? Like, so if you have a timer going on the watch and you and the screen goes dark, it still shows the timer, but it gets rid of the seconds in the timer, so you can see the minutes but not the seconds. And that's because the screen frame rate is as low as 1 hertz, which is 1 refresh per second. And so, I guess, I mean, they could if they wanted to, but they
one
don't.
1 refresh per minute.
It's per second.
Per second?
1 hertz.
1 hertz is per second?
Yeah, okay. Hertz is cycles per second.
Oh, okay, why did I think it's per minute? Okay, thanks.
Yeah, so, and also, like, if you have a timer and it's less than 1 minute, it will show the second. And then if you have a watch face with a second hand, the second hand goes away. So the way the phone does it is also similar. Whereas if you just hit, if you're in an app and you have always on enabled, and you hit the power button, it will go to the lock screen and it dims it a little bit. And it has like a slightly different version of, if you have a stock wallpaper, it has a slightly different version of it that, like, gets more dim. It's a slightly different pattern, but it's the same thing, right? Like, it's hard to explain, but, like, it gets dimmer and it, like... But you can still see your lock screen widgets. You can still see the time. And if you have count notifications enabled, then if you get a notification and, like, it doesn't alert the screen, but it goes to the lock screen, you can see, like, on the bottom it says, like, 1 notification or 3 notifications or whatever. But multiple times in the last day, I have instinctually reached over to my phone that's technically off and hit the power button trying to turn it off. And all that's done is made the screen brighter. Because honestly, the always on screen is brighter than I would have expected.
Yeah, I remember that. Something similar happened to me when you remember when there was a switch, like the transition from, like you could like tap to wake the phones. At a certain point, phones got that feature, and then iPads. And I remember I had a relatively new phone that had this, that supported this feature, tap to wake. But I had a much older iPad, and I remember I kept tapping iPad. Like tap to wake, and I was like, nothing's happening. So
yeah,
well, you know, these habits go away quickly.
No, what I had when I had my 12, I had an older iPad. Mm-hmm. That's like an iPad that still had the home button, and I did that exact same thing. But also similarly, when I started using iPads more, I would like specifically when I had an iPad with a keyboard, right? I would use that sometimes for some stuff, and then I'd go back to using a Mac. And I would reach over and try to touch something on the Mac screen. And I don't know. Maybe one of these days Apple will make a touchscreen Mac. But that wasn't a touchscreen Mac. So I would tap it and immediately go like, what the heck am I doing?
Ah, interesting. No, that doesn't happen to me with Macs. But
yeah, no. So always on screen is one thing. And it's just... also, I didn't realize, and this is just me being a nerd for tech stuff, but the tap to wake thing on phones is it's a hardware difference. Because you can't software enable tap to wake on phones that didn't have it to begin with. Like the iPhone 8 wouldn't work with tap to wake. Even though it was released at the same time as the 10, it's a hardware thing, something that like in the hardware that allows it to wake up when it's touched.
Tap to wake was the first on 10 that late?
Yeah, because the 10 was the first iPhone to, the 10 was the first like Apple device to not have a home button, right? Because the redesigned iPads were in 2018. So yeah, that was in the 10. And there was something in the hardware that because they didn't want to just have the touch portion of the screen on all the time because that would waste battery. So there's something in the hardware that allows it to wake up when it's
all right.
So you can't like backfill that, and so that's interesting. But there's another thing with this phone, and you'll see it if you see anyone who has a screenshot of anything on an iPhone 14 Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the dynamic island, right? Because the notch doesn't show up in screenshots, but the dynamic island does, and there's a reason for it. But the use of the dynamic island is if you are playing anything, or you're in a call, or you have a timer going, or something like you have like maps navigation active, or you're doing a screen recording, or anything like, and third-party apps will eventually be able to also interface with this in custom ways. But it shows that little status in the island. And also, like, so what it is, because the rumors for a long, long time on this phone were that we would have cutouts that were, like, one was a little dash, and then to the right of it was a little dot, right? And if you only count the parts of the phone, of the phone screen that aren't screen, that's actually what that is. And that's interesting. Because if you turn on the phone and you actually look at like what the little cutout looks like, it's just one strip, right? And that's because there's a little thing in the middle of there that's still screen, but it's just black because it makes it more uniform. And then if you start playing audio or anything like that, close the app, if you play a podcast, right? The podcast art and a little like audio indicator will be in the island. Like it'll expand a little bit and it'll be on each side of where the camera is.
Yeah.
IR sensor.
Yeah, I did see all that. I think there's only one Apple YouTube PhD. Watch his videos, and yeah, he did a nice summary of that as well. Because like it's like one of those things that I think podcasters, like the ones that are into technology communication, so they will struggle with, because it's like so much easier to show it because it's dynamic. But yeah. So I have a question for you about this specific dynamic island, because like how it works, I think it was covered pretty extensively. But do you have you already developed the same like spot blindness for it as the way the same way as for Notch? Because like, you know, I think you know it from experience, you stop noticing the Notch very quickly. But what about what about the island? Because it's like it's a, you know, a chunk of blackness on your screen.
Right. Honestly, people like, so, right. If I'm watching, if I'm doing something where the entire top of the phone is blacked out anyway, right, you're not going to notice that.
But what about videos in the landscape mode?
It's a weird thing, because most of the time, like, videos aren't going to take up that part of the screen, right? Because the main, the as Apple calls it, the safe area of the screen is just, if you're a developer, that's how it's called.
Oh, okay.
But, like, and, like, I filed a feedback yesterday where something was breaking the safe area where it wasn't supposed to be. But that, like, main area of the screen, that it, like, it's only rectangular, that is a normal aspect ratio. So if you're watching any video in, like, a quote-unquote normal aspect ratio, you're gonna, like, it's not gonna take up that part of the screen anyway. But just, like, on the home screen, like, if you're looking at the home screen, it does sort of, if there's nothing happening there, you don't think about it, right? And that's normal. It's the same as the Notch, right? There's a little bit of screen above it, but you're not noticing that. But I think the point that they were trying to make when they made this feature is that it's not just a notch anymore. It's not just something on the top of the screen that you have to ignore. It is something that it is useful and that you do want to notice, and that is honestly the way the whole... the audio thing and, like, everything it does, it is one of those just delightful features that Apple comes out with sometimes. Like for as much as tech podcasters complain about Apple, there is some things that they do that is truly, like, that are truly just delightful. And this is one of those things, because it makes, it takes what was sort of a blemish of the last phone and makes it, like, new and something to actually pay attention to. And it's not just a black part of the screen. But to answer your question, it's not, like, since I've gotten used to the Notch, then when it's not being used, the little cutout just disappears, basically. In one of these days, there won't be any cutout at all, hopefully. Or maybe not. We don't know. So,
so all in all, you're happy with your new device.
Yeah, it's a very good phone. But there is another story I need to tell, and that's the story of the eSIM. Because for US phones, Apple got rid of the SIM tray for SIM cards for cellular carriers. And that's fine, right? And I'm kind of glad they did, because, first of all, SIM card tray is another little thing on the phone that has to be shielded against water damage, right? And that makes it more difficult to... So that's a whole thing, but, you know, that's fine. And, like, now you have another little thing on the side of the phone, whereas now, like, you don't have that. The side of the phone is whole. It's one piece, except for the buttons. And it looks nicer. And then non-US phones still have the SIM tray, so that's fine. But, and also, like, SIM cards are going away eventually. Like, at some point, everyone will just use eSIMs, or whatever it ends up being. Like, physical SIM cards are an outdated technology. They're going away. But I messed up setting up my phone. And the first way I messed up that I didn't realize at the time was I gave my old phone to the Apple guy and they started erasing my old phone before I had the chance to activate my new one. And they were unaware. I was unaware. And like that was fine. If the old phone hadn't been erased, I could have used it to help me activate the new one, get my number transferred, right? And also get some of my information transferred, so I wouldn't have to log in manually. Next year, I'll be more aware of that, right? But what happened was I was mistaken as to how AT&T wanted me to go about, and AT&T is my cell phone carrier, but I was mistaken as to how they wanted me to go about activating my phone. So I did it wrong, and I accidentally stole my mom's number off of her phone.
Oh, no.
Because I did it in a certain way, and it took my mom's number from her 13 and put it on my phone, and so she had no service.
Oh, oops!
And so I had to call my dad, and by call I mean FaceTime because that works over Wi-Fi and not cellular. And I was freaking out a little bit.
Yeah, I would be freaking out too. Oh my god, that's okay.
So what ended up happening was because, and I'm here, and my parents are in my hometown. We're 8 hours away, so we're doing this over text, mm-hmm. right? My dad, as the only person in this group who still can make a phone call, makes a phone call to AT&T customer service, and basically what ends up happening, I delete the eSIM off of my device, like completely. And eventually AT&T gets some information about my mom's phone and gets her number back, gets her service. That's all good. And that's what worried me the most. I didn't care. Like I didn't care if it would take me a week to get like cellular service on this phone. In this case, as long as I wasn't inconveniencing other people, right. That's what worried me the most. But you know, that got figured out. And then I sent like some numbers over the text to my dad so he could tell them to AT&T service. And eventually just a notification popped up on my phone that said AT&T wants to activate eSIM or something like that. And I hit that and I hit activate and it took a few minutes and then eventually I had service, right? And that was all good.
How long did that all take?
About 3 hours.
Oh, okay. Yes, 3 stressful hours.
Yeah.
Well, I hope your mom's...
And that was 3 hours while I was watching the podcast-a-thon. So, yeah. That was fun.
Well, I hope your mom's day wasn't disrupted too much.
Yeah. Well, it all ended up being fine. And what I ended up saying afterwards was, like, I'm glad we figured this out. Like, figured out how not to do it. Because eventually we're all going to have eSIMs anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And... like, worst case scenario, someone said this in Discord because I was sort of venting there. iPhone 13s are eSIM capable. So, like, worst case, they could have, like, transferred it over or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, this is what annoys me, though, is, like, I think there's a chance internally Apple sort of had the, or someone within Apple sort of had the idea to transfer all the phones to eSIM only. And then someone in a carrier heard that and begged them to do it, right? Because all of the carriers, if you transfer to eSIM, they take that as an excuse to charge you another fee, right? For AT&T, it was $40 to transfer from a physical SIM to an eSIM. And for different carriers, it, like, they all took that as a... And, like, if you have that over... like, some of the carriers are already... like, already find ways to... take money from people. So anyway, that's a whole other conversation, but long story short, I really enjoy this phone. And I might eventually get a case for it just for certain uses, but I'm not gonna have a case on it like in normal use.
Like, how because would you... like, when you can see this color purple, will you describe it as an aubergine purple or more of a, like,
It's not like...
because, like, that's what it looks to me on the older videos and photos. It's, like, it's very, like, dull aubergine purple, and kind of like, you know, the entire tint of purple. It has like, it's such a delightful color. You have to try hard to make it boring, and like that, you know, godforsaken fruit, like vegetable, is the one of the variations where it is like, it's so purple it is almost black. Is that the foam?
I think, you know, the way it's described is actually a pretty good way of describing it. It's a deep purple, right? But I think, yeah. Also, by the way, in the US it's called eggplant. But yes.
I refuse to call this plant, this vegetable, eggplant.
See, I was always, it confused me for a long time because I was watching, like, British comedy shows, and they would make jokes about the aubergine emoji, and I wouldn't get it. And then eventually I understood that it was eggplant.
Yes, aubergine.
And then all the jokes make sense.
It's aubergine,
right? Because that's the emoji.
And courgette, yes.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
Two lovely, like you know, as in the lovely tradition of English language, words borrowed from French or imported, yeah. Or anyways, introduced. But yeah, eggplant.
Borrowed.
Yeah. I think,
it depends on the lighting, though, because sometimes, like, if the light hits it correctly, it can be a little bit brighter. I'd say it's kind of like and I might be totally wrong about this, but it's kind of like a royal purple. Although that might be a little bit brighter.
Royal purple is much brighter than, like, in my opinion. But again, I haven't seen the phone in person.
In certain light, it can kind of hit that. It also, like, if you're in really bright light, it can get close to, like, lilac or something. I don't know. I'm not a color expert. And then in most lighting, it just looks gray. And then on camera, it almost always looks gray. Yeah. So, but that's fine. But it's a good color. I'm still sad that they didn't have a blue this year. But
yeah.
But
it's kind of like these colors for pro phones are never going to be fully satisfying.
Unless Apple just decides to stop being wimps and make pro phones in all the colors, right? But, you know, that's my opinion. If you're going to have all the colors for the non-pro phones, give the people who want to give you more money more options, right?
But look, it's like, the pro phone. It has to look professional, and professional means boring, isn't it? But yeah, you can hear that I'm not happy with it as well.
Okay, okay. Professional means nothing the way Apple uses it.
I know, so like, you don't have to convince me. Convince the whoever's responsible for marketing there. But yeah, it's the colors. But hey, get yourself a bright yellow case and put on it. It would go well. Because you would still have that square of cameras visible. Bright yellow banana case.
No, I'm gonna keep it caseless for now.
Banana case is the way to go.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Mike. So, what else are we talking about today?
Well,
after I got to rave about the phone for 20 minutes, or 30 minutes.
Well, first of all, I'm very happy for you. For your phone, I'll be honest, I did tune out a little bit in the middle, but hey, you know, nobody would have known unless I've, but if I haven't mentioned that, I would be exactly the same if I got a new phone as well. I would be just, you know, talking about it.
Yeah.
But it's a week of new stuff for both dragons because I got my Habanichis for the next year. And a quick recap for those who don't follow this. Habanichi is the company in Japan that makes planners, paper planners. They have been making them for like at least 10 years. And they are incredibly well designed and have multiple layouts that make them convenient for convenient for all sorts of types of usage. And also they have very high quality paper that takes a lot of different inks. And that's why they're incredibly popular. Like, you know, one would even say that they have a cult following in the world of pen and paper enthusiasts. So the way they do it is that every August they start preview parties, as they call them. So, like, every day, like, from 1st of August till the end of August, like, every day there is, like, a new bit of information. Like, you know, they first, like, it's like, oh, hello, like, you know, the Habanichi season has begun. Then they show, like, you know, maybe new collaborations with some other brands, new cover designs. You know, there are interviews with people who make them. So it's kind of, like, very interesting, but also they, you know, ramping up the attention, teasing, and so on and so forth. And then on 1st of September, the store gets open, it gets activated, opens on 1st of September. It's an online store. You can buy these planners through retailers as well, if they're available. I prefer to always buy it directly, because then you get the online web shop exclusive freebies, and it's basically just like, you know, buy directly from them on 1st of September, and then you're all sorted for next year. And this year was the first time when I bought more than one notebook planner. Usually, like, for the, like, since 2014, I believe, with the almost like, oh, with only 1 year skipped, I have been buying the A6 Habanichi Techo planner. It's a, you know, A6 size, the standard one. It's an English language. Week starts on Monday. It's perfect. It has all the layouts. And that's been my always go-to notebook. And I use it every day. I carry it with myself every day. And that's why the size A6 is incredibly convenient. But this year, I could not resist the two factors. The temptation of having this beautiful object, and secondly, the fact that this is the last edition when they're going to be using the original Tamoe River, which is the whole story of the Tamoe River is a separate one. Did we talk about it on record? Or no, I don't think so.
I don't think so. I did listen to the Pen Addict episode where they talked about it.
Yeah. So basically, the whole thing with Habanichi is that they used consistently for all these 10 years one brand of paper, Tomoegawa Tamoe River paper. Tomoegawa company stopped making that specific paper because of the manufacturing difficulties. And Habanichi, they apparently stockpiled a whole load of it because Tamoegawa stopped making this brand, this type of paper, like at least a couple of years ago. Habanichi had enough paper supply to keep the original Tamoe River in production for their product, for their stuff, for 2020, 2021, 2022, and the entirety of the run for the next year. So they will switch to a different type of paper, which is a pretty good successor to the current one, only for the books that will be for 2024. And it's not like they have small batches, like the, you know, with the promo material that came with this year's notebooks. They said that for like in 2022, they have sold 720,000 notebooks. So that's like 700,000 people using it. So almost 1 million. And like maybe 500,000, because we should discount for people who buy multiple books. But still, that's a lot of notebooks. So I can't even visualize the amount of paper they have stockpiled. Because they make so many notebooks, and it's A6 size and A5 size. But anyways, that was actually one of the announcements they made in August, that this, like, for 2023 run, the paper is still old one, but for 2024 they are switching to the new one. And these two things, like, first of all, I've been looking at this new type of the planner for a couple of years now, and this announcement about the paper, that's what made me go and buy a Habanichi 5-year book. And it's I've picked the A5 size. It's A5, as the name says. And this is so-called 5-year planner, when on one page you have a date, And then the page is divided in five sections, and there is a year. So basically, you know, the idea is that you keep the same book for 5 years, and then you'll be able to kind of like retrospective, like be very retrospective about it. Oh, on this day 2 years ago, I've been doing such and such. And so the book is incredibly pretty. It is unexpectedly soft because, like, you know, it comes with a nice cover. It is called, like, you know, dictionary binding. And you can use it as is without any additional covers. But it is very floppy. Like, it is very flexible. And so I will be, like, getting an additional cover for it. But it's just so lovely. And it is all in Japanese. So I guess, like, eventually I will learn the by heart, the symbols that mean, weekdays, Monday, Tuesday. Because these are, like, you know, these are the markings that you learn. Like the weekdays, months, and that's it. Because everything else is numbers, so it's... That is it's a grid. That is tiny, tiny grid. And that's something I'm going to be... I will start using on 1st of January. And the packaging, just like, let me, you know, before I completely ramp up, and because I know it might be very boring, majority of our listeners, apologies, but the packaging is just so nice. Because this book comes in this turquoise, light blue, I never can pronounce that name, the name of that color, light blue box that you can keep. And it has the 5 years printed on the front, on the cover of the box in white, and then for the like year planners, Habonichi finally switched to all paper packaging. So the, you know, the notebook comes in a bag. That I was blanking on the word bag. So in the past, it would arrive to you in a transparent plastic bag. Now it is a paper bag, but it has still a transparent window that is also paper, just like incredibly thin, like wafer thin paper. So you see what's inside you, so you're doubly sure what type of you're getting. But the packaging is very well thought out, and delivery was this year. Delivery was a bit annoying because this year the courier of choice is FedEx, and I never liked FedEx. And for example, you know, they said that they're going to deliver it on Wednesday. I then went on the site and changed the appointment from Wednesday to Thursday because on Wednesday I wouldn't be home. And guess what? The notebook gets the parcel gets delivered on Friday. So like several days early, like 6 days early. And I'm like, what was the point of giving the estimate and giving me the option to rebook the time if you're going to ignore all that and deliver early? Which is, like, delivering it early is nice. I get to, you know, look at all these things earlier. But, like, thankfully, you know, coincidentally, I was at home on Friday. But if I weren't, it would be just a hassle of, like, getting hold of that parcel after unsuccessful delivery and so on and so forth. So... FedEx, nope. I mean, but again, I am irrationally grumpy about them because they've lost once a birthday postcard that I've sent to my brother 22 years ago, so I'm still grumpy about it. And then they've lost a parcel I've sent once from UK to Kazakhstan, so it's, like, if I have choice, I don't use FedEx, but hey, you know, Habonichi decided to send them. It got to me in the end, like, I mean, earlier than scheduled. But yes, this is the planners for 2023. I'm all set. Now I need to put it all aside for the next 3 months and not think, you know, not touch them.
I could not fathom having a 5-year planner, honestly.
But it's just not really, like, a planner. It is more like, you know, it's a journal because you're not planning there ahead.
Fair.
You're recording what happened mostly. So it is not prospective,
even
it's
then,
retrospective.
Even then, and like 5 years is a quarter of my life. But like I I can't commit to anything for long. I can't even have a physical planner for a year, right? Like, I tried it a couple times, and, like, I would last about 3 months. Like, and I can't even do daily journaling, because I did it at the beginning of this year, and it lasted about 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not how I work. But also, just, like, the idea of a five-year journal, like, with, like, everything set out and stuff, like... I'm not dedicated enough for that.
Well, but it's not about dedication. It's just like your preferences and habits.
Like, that's fair.
You're dedicated to your task management system and your note-taking. So there is that.
I'm dedicated to having a note-taking and task management system.
See?
So that's fair. That's fair.
I just like, you but know, anyway. I'm very confident I'll be using it consistently on a daily basis, because I just, like, you know, by now... I know my journaling and note-taking habits, and, like, right now I actually already have two journals in parallel. One is happening day-to-day stuff, and the other one is for long form and, like, more of a introspective. So the second journal will just, from 1st of January, will be, instead of, like, just a notebook, it will be this one, and because I think there is plenty of space there, because it's an A5. Size, and so yeah, I am fairly confident that it will be, it's a very calming exercise, like, to sit down in the evening and just take notes, and
yeah,
it's I already tried to do 5 year journal, but that one didn't stick, mostly because of the paper quality, because my usual fountain pens were, like, feathering on that paper. And never, like, no matter what I've tried, and either feathering or bleeding through, so one or the other. And so, like, that notebook kind of, I was like, okay, I will write with a rollerball on it, but that's something that apparently, you know, did put me off. So having,
when you have a bunch of fountain pens, have not being able to use fountain pens is sort of a deal breaker.
It kind of is, yeah, because, right, like, for a rollerball, I have to, like, search for it, because my rollerballs are some, I mean, I have them, but they're just all somewhere, you know, probably at the bottom of my bag, mostly. So, yeah, like, not being able to use fountain pen, exactly as you said, it's a no-go. So that's why I'm excited about the Habanichi, because that's a paper that is tried and tested. It will take anything, basically. People like watercolor in it, in their notebooks, and it's fine. Like, even more than fine. So, you know, you can use watercolor paint on it. Fountain pens are fine. And the last thing is that Habanichi also, they have included the sample of the 2024 of their new paper for everyone to test. So
right,
that's a nice move. So I haven't tried it yet, but just by the feel alone, it feels good. It's a good paper. I think it would be as good as Tomoe River. So that's my new stuff of the week.
Right, so.
Accidental pen and paper podcast.
Yeah, so today's episode is just, we talk about things, but not in the normal things sense that we normally talk about, but things as in physical things.
Objects.
Mostly, yeah, physical things. But, because this week, a friend sent me a very, very nice, or not like, I don't know, it's the nicest fountain pen I own, which is not saying much, because the other fountain pen I own is Twisby Go. And there's nothing wrong with Twisby Go, but compared to that, a Pilot Metropolitan just feels...
It looks fancier. I'll give you that, because, like, Twisby Go is a very dorky-looking pen. Like, there is, like, you know, no other way of saying it, because it's transparent, you can see a spring, it has a very unusual clip. So, yeah, it's a special pen. But the Pilot Metropolitan, yes, those are more classic looking. So you have that one, right? In what color?
So I have a black Pilot Metropolitan.
Ooh, nice.
And I was sent the Pilot
Hiroshizuku.
Yeah, that one. that one. Asagao. Which is a blue. And apparently it has a, and I can't tell on the paper that I usually write on, which is just normal paper. But apparently has a sheen of like a purple.
Right? It does, yes, it does have a slight purple sheen, but you need some glossy paper for it to, so like, you know, try it on Rhodia.
Right, no, so I need to get myself some fancy paper. But no, I have a new pen. And that's fine. And the reason why I had it sent to me is because I was complaining about how if I clean, because I only had one pen, one fountain pen, and if I clean this pen, I am now without a fountain pen that I can use.
But wait, why don't you just like clean it and refill it immediately?
Because people keep saying this. I thought it was normal practice to like let the pen dry out for a day.
Oh, well, yes and no. Like, there is nothing wrong because, like, first of all, if you rinse out your pen and then take a paper tissue, paper towel, and then just, like, you know, like, especially with the Twisby Go, it is easy to see. And then if you kind of, like, gently press the nib flat, like, you know, the upside to on the paper towel, you will see, like, you will see that how water is being drawn out through the capillary motion.
Yep.
And that's how you dry it out in the express way. And, you know, you kind of, like, shake the pen a couple of times to make sure that all the water droplets go to the very tip. Then you apply some more paper towels. And then it's good to go. Like,
I guess that's fair.
Yes, and drying out is just like when you can't be bothered to do all that with every single pen. Because, for example, when I clean my pens, it's a batch of like 10, 15 pens. I'm not going to dry all of them like that. So I do shake them out. But then I keep them, then I just leave them nib up, uncapped, to dry them out because I will be putting them away for long storage. But if I were in your position, yeah, I will be just like, you know, rinse it out, ink it up. But hey, right, you know, Pilot is a great pen to have. So thanks to our mutual friend for the generosity.
This is a medium. And so you know, I have two mediums. At some point I want to get a fine. And at some point, like, I want to try different nib sizes, but medium seems to work well.
It's a good starting point.
I'm not picky, but not yet anyway. it's a good place to start at some point. So I looked up like more Pilot Metros because I know they come in a bunch of different colors, and I found a turquoise one. And I looked
at
that.
That's the word I struggle with. God,
turquoise. It's not cyan
because I always want to say turquoise. I don't know, because, like, and I have no idea why, but that's, I always want to go more into E sound instead of whatever you're making after Q.
Ois? Ois. It's a, like, weird sound.
It is. I don't like the sound. This is another reason, like, I've struggled with the word that has similar sounds in it. Like, you know, there is a type of dolphin. Starts with P.
Guppy? No.
Porpoise?
Porpoise.
Yes.
That's porpoise.
Exactly. It's just like, who comes up with the words with these words? I know I'm being ridiculous.
Did I say guppy?
Sorry, what?
No. I was thinking of beluga. No, that's an Airbus thing. I'm sorry. I'm being a nerd.
Yeah, beluga is a whale, not a dolphin.
Beluga is also a type of plane. And when you said dolphin, I thought of beluga. And then Airbus, that's the Airbus. It's a type of freight plane.
It's a
and
massive
then they also,
one.
They also make another freight plane called the Guppy.
Guppy is a fish. Which is,
yeah, but that's why I said that, because my brain just went in a million different places.
Okay, okay. Not because you can't tell fish from dolphins.
well, fair that's enough. Also true. But no.
That's an interesting naming convention they have there going. So it is like aquatic creatures. Guppy, yeah. Beluga. Because with beluga, I think the name for beluga is because of the nose shape of the, like, the how the nose and cockpit of the plane is shaped. It's kind of, it's like there are these similarities.
It's called Beluga because it has the dome on the top. It's huge.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it's a freight carrier. It carries like large pieces of things. Mm-hmm. But no. So I was looking at welcome to linguistics again. I was looking at other colors for the Pilot Metro, and they had a turquoise. And, like, you described turquoise earlier as light blue. It's not light blue. Turquoise is, like, blue-green. And it's a good color. Because green is also a good color, but, like, blue-green, that's, like, turquoise. And then cyan is also, like, a blue-green, but it's, like, a light, like, lighter? I don't know. I just call it blue-green if you don't want to call it turquoise. But the name of the color is turquoise. And I was looking at it, and I was like, it's only $20, which was a lot less than I expected this pen to be. It's not that much. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at the buy now button and I was like, I'm not going to impulse buy this. Because first of all, I'm not just going to buy the pen on its own. If I'm going to buy this, I'm going to buy it with some ink, right?
That's wrong. Because it's not like the number of your inks have to not match number of your pens. But secondly, yes, delaying the purchase is a good decision because you just got the new pen. So stretch it all out. And
honestly, there's probably a lot more other options of other types of pens I can also get.
Precisely.
If I wanted to get a pen with a fine nib, right, there's other things I could get for a similar price as well.
Yes, and you want to kind of like maybe by now you're still at the stage where you're like finding your favorite one, because like, you know, you've seen my, I think I've shared the photos of my pen collection with you, like, you know, I have an ungodly amount of Platinum 3776. I didn't land on this model right from the very beginning. It was like maybe, you know, a few years into pen hobby when I realized that this specific model is like, I'm so in love with it, I want to have it in all possible variation. So you're still at the stage where you're learning which fountain pens you want and like. So, for example, I would go for another good starter pen, which is Safari, Lamy Safari. You don't have it. So try that one. And, their fine nib should be different from the Twisby. And it's very easy to find. It is a very affordable. And it has a ton of fun colors. By the way, can we go back a little bit to Beluga thing and linguistics?
Sure.
Sorry. But I just wanted to like mention that it is that name is that word is doubly confusing because in English, when you say Beluga, it could mean two different things. Because both of the, like, it could mean the beluga whale, the one that we talked about, and it could mean beluga sturgeon or great sturgeon, because they were both.
I would not have known that.
Yeah, but the thing is that because those both of these words were borrowed from Russian, but in Russian they sound different. Those are distinctly two different words. One is beluga for sturgeon, but for the whale, it is beluga. So it is the different consonant. And so in Russian,
yeah,
it's
and both of those consonants when they're transliterated become,
yeah, they kind of the like thing. Got all like, you know, beluga got transliterated into English as beluga, probably for the ease of pronunciation. But for me, it's always a bit like takes a microsecond to transfer it because I was like, wait,
because
the sturgeon has a, you know, first of all, it's a fish, and secondly, the shape of the head is completely different.
Because the back of the throat consonant sound, right? That weird sort of...
No, it's no. He is not back of the consonant. He is back of the consonant, but he, it is like... It's like you're...
I cannot tell the difference between those two things.
Oh, really? Huh.
No,
okay, let me try to emphasize it. So, like, first one is he. So it's a light one. It's like as if I'm trying to pronounce ke, but I didn't really close the sound. But the other one is he. Maybe, okay, I'll blame the Discord doing the suppression. And hopefully some of our listeners can hear the difference. Because when I make those sounds myself, I can clearly hear the difference. But hey, Maybe it's one of those illusions, but those two sounds are different, and in Kazakh they have different letters even. Anyways.
Back on topic. So,
back on topic of pens, exactly.
Anyway, so
sorry, I couldn't resist. The plan is,
when I want to grow my collection even more, I'll get something. I'll look at Lamy Safari. I want to look at, I don't know, some other Twisbys. Maybe like a, I don't know what the. Also, I wanted to mention this. The converter that we that I was given with this, mm-hmm. I was expecting it to be some sort of piston or like a plunger sort of thing, like normal, like most converters I've heard are. Or something, but no. The one I was given on this is a squeezy converter.
And that one.
That amused me a little bit.
Oh god! Like, you know what? That's one thing I don't like about Pilot pens. Their converters just are.
I mean, honestly,
are not
it
good.
Also came with. I was also given a cartridge of Pilot Black, and at some point I want to try this Pilot Black, but I couldn't resist putting in the nice blue. But at some point I'll try the Pilot Black. And I have a syringe and something to refill the converter.
Yeah, and like with the Pilot pens, that's the best course of action because their converters are just one of the most infuriating things in the pen world.
I didn't dislike it because it's squeezy,
that's squeezy.
Right? Like, it's easier to deal with than a normal piston where you have to screw it
when you're filling it up, but not when you're rinsing it out.
No, you just keep squeezing it. You just accordion it, like, right? Because you just it'll wash
just
out.
Like, yeah, you're technically right. It's just like, no, I don't like the squeezy one. I think it has some proper name for it, but I don't remember. But then they have just like they have the normal. Well, you know, the not normal, but the most common the piston converter. But that one is tiny, and then the other one they have is just like the. Converter model 70, I think. That one is just the worst. It has a button on it.
Yeah, the converter that I saw on the website that I was shopping for these was a piston. Yeah. But anyway, but my plan is when I want to grow my pen collection a little more, which not right now, mm-hmm. but I want to look at, you know, Twisbys, Narwhals, because those are just the brands that I've heard that aren't super high-end, like pens that I know I can't afford anyway. But you know, lower end stuff, and then, you know, Lamy Safari, things like that. I want to try Fine, and I want to try Stub, and then I want to try, like, different inks, specifically, like, within Iroshizuku, like, because those seem really good, and also just a bunch of different things.
Yeah, Iroshizuku, yeah. I think, yeah, for you it makes sense to stick to the Iroshizuku first, because they're very, you know, they're one of the most fast-drying inks, and I think we talked about it. Like, for you as a lefty, that is incredibly, important. Because
more or less, because I know how to write in a way that I don't smudge things. But yeah.
Still, like, you know, when ink dries quickly, it's nice. Because, for example, I remember, like, a good friend of mine, Mate, he's the man behind the Pannonia inks. Some of you, if you listen to Pen Addict, you've heard those inks reviewed. Mate, he lives in Budapest. He makes those inks. Lovely, lovely person. And I remember testing the ink he made of, like, years ago, back in 2019, I think, one of his first inks. And then he was like, ask me, so how was it? I was like, Mate, lovely color, like amazing color, like behaves so smoothly, doesn't feather. But then just takes forever to dry, and by forever I mean 5 minutes. And he was like, yeah, that's not good. I was like, no, that's not good at all.
Yeah, I also want to try, like, different papers that would allow it to dry better, mm-hmm. or easier or faster, and also papers that will give the sheen, because I saw on Mountain of Ink,
uh-huh.
that it has a sheen, and I was like, well, now I'm missing out. Because as good as this blue is, if it doesn't have the sheen, then what am I doing?